are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. I'm talking about Alabama. I mean to say, y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, before I go any further, let me just remind you guys, and I've had several of y'all have inquired, and I've forwarded the inquiries to them, and glad of it. But over the past month, I've been introducing you to one of our newest sponsors, Inspire Advisors. So Inspire Advisors is extremely cool and good at what they do. Inspire Advisors, they can help you with what is known as biblically responsible investing, BRI. It's a thing. Because I know this audience, y'all are the kind of people out there that not only stand up for what you believe in, a lot of you are doing what you can to set aside for the future, investing. Sometimes your accounts are managed by others, sometimes by you, and you may be shocked to find out that some of the things you're investing in could be going to support like abortion or pornography or human trafficking or whatever. Well, Inspire Advisors and biblically responsible investing, they are good at helping you grow your bottom line, but also be proud of what you're investing in. They can take a look at it for free. They can sit down with you for free, no charge, no fuss, no muss, no upsell, and just show you what's in your portfolio now and even show you what other biblically aligned alternatives might be great replacements. So just all I'm saying is this. If you want to know more about BRI, if you want to get a free meeting with in person with the folks at Inspire Advisors, Paul Breyer and his team are glad to do it. You can go to their website, www.moneypatternwealth.com. That's moneypatternwealth.com. Or you can go to our website. This is easy. Go to rightsidemedia.org. Go to the Right Side Radio Sponsors tab. Click on their logo. It takes you right to their website. Listen, Inspire Advisors, so cool, man. This is like, it's conservative, it's godly, it's balanced. It's financial freedom, really. Inspire Advisors, check them out. All right, we are going to jump topics. It's time to go to dipper number two, the DNC fund. Let me grab my notes over here and just start talking through some of this because the DNC kicked off yesterday. Whoop, whoop. I mean, it was wow. So it was something. It was a lot of what you'd expect and some of which maybe you didn't expect. Like, for instance, the creepy factor gets thrown in when you realize that the worship of abortion is very prevalent. So much so that Planned Parenthood is actually there with a giant intrauterine device inflatable standing in the parking lot and a trailer where you can get free abortion medications and guys can sign up to get a back alley vasectomy. You can't make this crap up. A back alley vasectomy. Like, hey, I'm going to come out, you know, and just never seen you before. And I noticed you got a trailer pulled down there in the back. How about you go ahead and snip my personables? And let's go ahead and make sure the next generation of Democrats can't breed. I mean, that's funny, but it's also weird. Who does this? Who ever heard of a trailer that pulls up in a parking lot to do free vasectomies? I'm just thinking, apparently that whole, you know, wear your mask in public and social distancing thing is out the window now. Okay. That being said, the other thing they're doing is they're giving out abortion medication. And these abortifacients they're giving out, these are not not without great risk. And I don't know how they're doing this. Now, granted, it's in a state where it's allowed. In Alabama, you couldn't give them out. But they're sponsored by an organization, Planned Parenthood, that has done more for the abortion industry than anything else. They are the merchants of death. So anyway, there's that. That kicked off the DNC. Here's the other thing. This is interesting. You look at it and thought, okay, the apology tour started at like the first moments. The National Pulse has a story. The Democrats' national platform opens with a land acknowledgement where they felt it was extremely necessary for them to establish that the United States of America sits upon land stolen from Native American tribes. Okay. Quote, we honor the communities native to this continent. We recognize that our country was built on indigenous homelands. We pay our respects to the millions of indigenous people throughout history who have protected our lands, waters, and animals. What are you doing? Are you going to give it back to him? I mean, what's your point here? 300 years ago, there was a Native American, and I'm not denying that there was some the Trail of Tears, and there were some black marks on society, if you will, back then. We don't live there now. Why was this necessary? Why are you opening? So let me point out that what this really is. This is the Great Apology Tour. This is where you have to make sure that you point out that who we are as a people is not good, and we're here to make amends. This is what the victim mentality does, is it finds needs to apologize on a regular basis because it knows it's not right. We're not good. There's nothing, we're not wholesome. We're not good. And so that's what they do. They start off with the great apology. And they begin to then acknowledge all the tribes who may have been in this area, where they're like the Ho-Chunk tribe and the Menominee and the Sac and the Fox and the Peoria and the Kaskaskia. And they're going down the line. They're just like naming all the tribe. And I see this and think, okay, some of those tribes seized land from each other too, if you want to get down to it. But okay. And I wonder, after they did that, did they feel better about themselves? I can't help but question what the point was in doing that. Phil, it's important that we recognize real history and not try to whitewash it. I'm not whitewashing anything. I'm just saying that at some point you got to recognize we're going forward now. So you can be the ones who apologize for everything and try to be the victim and do all the stuff it takes to go ahead and remind people how bleak life is. Or you could say, here's who we are and what we stand for, and here's where we're going, and here's our plan. And I don't mean we're going to give you free stuff. And I don't mean we're handing out free abortion pills. So what I just saw right there in those two things, first, the Democrats are apologizing for who we are as a nation. And second, they are determined to make sure that if you want to kill a baby, you can. And oh, by the way, while you're at it, let's make sure it's men and women. Line up, fellas. Come to the van back in the back alley, and we'll snip your personables and, you know, give you a chance to just live life without any worries about ever having kids. It's just sick, man. But then here's the other thing. Then there's the Joe Biden moment. This was what I call a cry and shame. Let's set aside how we feel about Joe Biden, the politician. Let's talk about Joe Biden, the man. All right. Imagine, if you will, that you have given your entire adult life to something and you have served with a lot of people, some of whom are still in positions of authority or power. And somehow along the way, you became expendable to them, even though you had spent 50 years with them. Can you imagine this? It's like finding out you're on the team and you're getting voted off the island, even though you thought you were their guy. I mean, this is where they are. It's worse than not getting picked for kickball. This is like putting you on the team and then standing you up in front of everybody else and saying, we don't want him anymore. I want somebody else. And then putting him back in the dugout and bringing somebody else out. This is what they did to Joe Biden. It's so disrespectful. And I'm not a Joe Biden fan, but I am not a fan of treating anybody like what we just saw. This is like on an epic scale. It's maddening to me. And they're feeling good about themselves. We're gonna take Kamala all the way, whoop, whoop. And they're just like, yeah, all in. Joe who? You know, Joe, the guy you just voted for in April. Joe, that guy. Joe, the one that was like your man, right? Joe is fine. We love Joe. Joe is great. Joe can do it. Don't you talk bad about his mental competency. Are we down in the polls? Get rid of Joe. We got to get rid of Joe. And all of a sudden, Joe is kicked to the curb. Not a little bit. Like, openly and embarrassingly. Picture this. Think about it. Okay, let's back up. You've got someone you love, and they're doing something to hurt themselves. Do you just let them hurt themselves because it's uncomfortable for you to say something and just hope it gets better on its own? Or do you man up and you go tell the one you love? Sometimes you got to be willing to love them enough to make them mad at you. And I hate that. But sometimes that uncomfortable conversation needs to happen. So how about this? They knew that Joe wasn't right. They knew he wasn't right a year ago. They knew he was slipping. They also knew that it was going to be difficult for him to be imagined by the electorate, imagined as a guy who was vibrant enough to go another 4 years. And yet they didn't say anything because they couldn't. They could have gone to him the way they did most recently. They could have gone to him over a year ago and said, Joe, don't run. We won't support this. Don't run. We need you to go ahead and retire a champion. You did all the stuff we needed, man. You signed those bills into law. We spent lots of money. You've had 50 years. It's been a run. We need you to step back. But they didn't. They just let him get out there. They let him believe that he was the man. They let him believe that they had his back. They let him believe that when the polls showed that he was going to win the Democrat primary, that it was all good. And then what did they do? They embarrassed him on the world stage by coming to him after they let him make a fool of himself at the debate that they knew he wouldn't do well at. And they came to him and said, you're out of here. What do you mean I'm out of here? I thought I was your guy. I thought we were a team. I thought you had my back. I thought we were family. I thought we served together 50 years. Nah, we don't need you now. Not only do we not need you, we don't want you. And so then the president of the United States of America, think about this, comes to his team's convention, the convention that he really didn't get to speak at the last time he got elected because of COVID. And so the big hoop-de-do that should have been his moment, he's relegated to being the guy they let do a speech on the first night so they can get him out of the way. That's exactly what, don't say anything otherwise, that's exactly what happened. Not only that, but the president of the United States of America, the guy who is allowed to stop the network programmings to announce things to the nation when he needs to do an address to the nation from the Oval Office, he can do that. He can call it and he can get on the he can do it anytime he wants to. They didn't bother to keep the program in line. They pushed him so far back in the evening that he missed all of prime time. People who care about politics were going to bed before he spoke. Why? Because they didn't know what he would do. So rather than have the hard conversation a year ago, they let him embarrass himself. They abandon him. And then they bring him up on the stage when it's too late for half the world to watch it. And people in the audience weren't even there. And they tried to pretend that it was all good. And it wasn't. It was the most disrespectful, disloyal bunch of, I mean, and here's my point, and I'll close on this before I go to the break. If they will do that to their own guy, what will they do to you and I? Think about that. If they will do this to their own Joe, what will they do to Joe and Jane on the street? That's the thing. If they have that level of disrespect for people that are supposedly theirs and their team and their loved one, then what will they do to the rest of us who don't share what they call values? Take me to a break, Big Rig. We're going to come right back and I'll take this one a step further. But man, the DNC, they got a little dicey though when Joe got up there and spoke. And he started talking about the anti-Israel protesters. I'll tell you what he said. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Going to take you to the top of the hour here with some text messages. Get caught up on some of your input. John from Huntsville says, it's Democrats' policy to kill their children and dispose of their A's when they are through with them. Wow. Wow, John. That was Patrick from Grove Oak. Right as I clicked on it, it changed to a new text. Okay, so Patrick from Grove Oak, That was perfect, man. That was well played. Let me read it again. It's Democrats' policy to kill their children and dispose of their aged when they are through with them. Wow. John from Huntsville, was I trying to read, says, I can hear Jeff Probst now saying, Joe, the Democrat tribe has spoken, and then his torch is officially put out as he slowly wanders off the stage trying to figure out where he went wrong. No doubt. Gary from Decatur says, I'm sorry, Phil. The House Judiciary Committee has presented evidence of Joe Biden and his family receiving $27 million. What's that got to do with this? Said, I can't respect a lying criminal no matter what his title or present mental condition. Perhaps they're just getting him, letting him get what he deserves. Gary's got nothing to do with what I'm talking about. Yeah, this is my whole point. You missed the entire point, Gary. The whole point a moment ago was if they will treat one of their own like this, I mean, think about it. If a loved one, Gary, in your family had evidence of something mounting against him, but he was not convicted yet, I would like to think that you'd be like in his corner praying for him, saying, we got your back. It's going to be okay. We'll be there for you. They didn't do that. They just literally said, you're not useful to us anymore. And they cast him aside. Their own people. It's you and I are Republicans, Gary. We're conservatives. We know that Joe Biden, the Biden family is corrupt. That's not what I'm talking about. It's a different topic altogether. Butch from Athens says, the disrespect of the POTUS position was apparent. However, J.R. Biden has also disrespected his oath of office, taken many times and positioned himself to financially benefit from his political position. Initially, I too thought the DNCC action was disrespect, but perhaps unintended, they demonstrated how much respect for the nation those in Democrat power have for anything. That's a point. I see that. David from Madison says, I'm curious to know your thoughts on why President Trump decided to do a debate so early on. He had to have known it was an azimuth check for the left. Azimuth check being, you sound like a military guy, that's compass work. He said he had to know it was an azimuth check for the left to determine Biden's longevity. What's done is done, but it would have been great if he would have delayed the debate till September. What are your thoughts? You know, knowing what we know now, maybe, but keep in mind, it was the Biden camp that asked for the debate. And yeah, Trump was in a position where he wanted to be able to show that he was a problem person, and he worked. And then I don't know that anybody believed they would just dump him off the ticket like they did. But then the other piece is Trump's in a position where you can't be the guy who says, let's debate. And he says, no, I don't feel like it when you're the only two in the race. You might get away with that in the primary, but you're not going to get away from that in the general. Navy Phil from Athens says, come now, Phil. I will support the movement that Democrats surrender their homes, current and future earnings to Native Americans. They should also return to the lands of their forefathers, all to assuage their guilt. It won't happen. James from Alabaster says, a back alley vasectomy. He says, I'm crying. I love this show. Thank you, James. He says, also, I could listen to angry Joe Biden all day, any day, anytime over a fake, smiling, sneaky, and crooked Hillary Clinton. He said, she's nowhere, no way good for this country. My head just hurts even think if Harris had picked her as the VP. Those two with Pelosi thrown in, wow, they would destroy this country in less than 2 years. Listen, man, that would be nothing but good for this show. I guess I'd have plenty of fodder, wouldn't I? But no, I wouldn't want that either. Good Lord. I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. Mike from Athens. Which one again was Elizabeth Warren's tribe? I love this audience. Chuck from Oneida, Tennessee says, it's not weird. Talking about the abortion truck. It's not weird. It's sick. Okay. I think I said that too, Chuck. And then Brandon from Union Grove says, I got a stepson says he supports Kamala. I said, why? He said, because she's for us. And I said, well, have you ever listened to Donald Trump? He said, no. And then he goes on to say, okay. Basically, he wants free stuff. I can't read it all right now. But Brandon, thanks. Stay on him. Stay on him. Stay on him. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three here on a Taco Tuesday. I'm in this first, or actually second dipper, the DNC Fun Bunch. I mean, they were, what was that? Mark Wahlberg used to be in music. Was it Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch or something like that?
I think that was it.
Yeah. All right. So the DNC Fun Bunch, they had it going on yesterday. So they did the whole thing. I gave you my spiel. I'll if you want to talk about it some more, we can. But they totally dissed their own guy, Joe Biden. I mean, just disrespected him in the eyes of the world. Everybody knows it. And they even bumped him past. I mean, the guy's almost 80 years old. He couldn't finish giving his speech till after midnight. People who wanted to watch it weren't even going to stay up to watch it anymore. Unbelievable. But some other things did happen. First of all, protesters are outside in a big way. They built a wall. Let's keep that in mind. The party that does not like the wall on the southern border, the party that does not like the idea of voter ID being necessary or photo ID being necessary for voting, has a wall around their convention and requires you to show your ID no less than 8 times to get to the floor of the convention. The hypocrisy knows no bounds. All right, that being said, the protesters were outside. Daily Wire has a piece that came out last night. It says the first scheduled speaker had not even been introduced before protesters actually breached the recently installed fencing outside the Democrat National Convention. So you did. They were, you know, the pro-Palestinian protesters wearing their traditional Palestinian keffiyehs, their scarves, carrying Palestinian flags. Some were carrying Hamas flags, by the way. Basically, we're attempting to breach a fence line, and they did. They broke it loose. It, you know, it comes in sections. They broke it loose and threw one of the sections aside, had a gap in the fence. Protesters reportedly there to voice their objections to the Biden-Harris administration's handling of the war between Israel and blah, 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 blah. End Israel. Stand with Hamas, says one protester who knows nothing about life. So that's happening outside the door. Meanwhile, let me go ahead and go back to the fact that I don't care much for Joe Biden. I pity the man, but he doesn't want my pity. Well, he does. He went straight back into Mr. Panderer mode. So last night he gave his speech. It was tough at times. I've seen segments of it. He's reading from the teleprompter. He's struggling. And I swear his eyes have gotten smaller. Anybody notice that? His eyes have gotten so small and beady. You're like, how do you see out of those things? But he's doing all he can to get the words off the teleprompter. And Angry Joe came out. Angry Joe, the kind where he yells at you. You're just a thing. No, oh, get off my grass. And he's just yelling. And then one of the things he says, though, is a little bit interesting. Talking about the people who are outside protesting the nation of Israel, supporting the terrorist group Hamas. He tells the crowd, Biden did, he tells the crowd, those protesters in the street, they have a point. They do? A lot of innocent people are being killed on both sides, he says. Well, whose fault is that? And now the apologists for Hamas will say, it's Israel. Israel's an oppressive nation. Joe Biden is the president of the United States of America. There are people out in the street right now at his convention that are waving pro-terrorism flags, calling for death to America, death to our ally Israel, supporting the Palestinian, not the Palestinian people really, supporting the Palestinian liberation movement. From the river to the sea. And the president of the United States feels like he needs to align himself with them because that's what he's done. Throughout his history, Joe Biden has always somewhat embarrassed himself by trying to align himself with whatever crowd he's in front of. And so last night, he did up and did the thing. Those protesters in the street, they have a point. No, sir, they don't. They don't. They don't have a point that any president should be looking at and taking, you know, alignment with. And he did the whole thing, too, where he talked about how, you know, Biden is literally calling out Charlottesville again, claiming that Trump said there were fine people on both sides when that's been debunked by fact checkers. That's not what he was saying. But Biden can say he aligns himself because they have a point in the street, the protesters, the anti-Israel and many times anti-American protesters. And then he goes on to say things like, now, where Trump is a MAGA Republican, right-wingers seek to erase history. We Democrats continue to write history and make more history, and I'm proud. I'm proud to have kept my commitment to appoint the first black woman to the U.S. Supreme Court, Ketanji Brown Jackson, a symbol for every young woman in America that you can do anything. Yeah, you can do anything as long as somebody makes sure they remove the majority of your competition. Let's keep in mind, Ketanji Brown Jackson is probably a brilliant woman. She's a liberal. I don't care for her policies. I don't care for her judicial acumen, but she's got some. I'm sure she's extremely intelligent, very sharp, maybe earned the right to be considered from a Democrat perspective, but she did not have to compete on this level playing field. Why? Because the fact that she was black and a woman was the first criteria for her job. And yet the president of the United States is saying, that's awesome. He goes on and just, you know, he talks about January 6th again. He talks and all these things. So, yeah, the speech was filled with stuff. But what were the themes of the night? What were the themes? So what we can see, this is what we're going to be seeing more of throughout the week. What are the themes that the Biden administration, the Democrat Party is running on? Number one, they're big on gender politics. Story from the Daily Signal has the rundown. They're big on gender politics. They are. I mean, they got First Lady Jill Biden, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Representative Lauren Underwood of Illinois, Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass, all speakers on the first night. Oh, by the way, Joe Biden. So by putting female leaders front and center, what they were doing was they're trying to widen the gap in American politics that is, you know, more pronounced among younger voters, that 40% of women right now apparently identify as liberal within the Gen Z category. They're trying to portray themselves as the party of women. Okay, so gender politics is huge for them. That also explains why they're pushing the issue of abortion, which is the next thing they're saying. They are huge on abortion. It is absolutely 100% their calling card. If you can't kill your baby, we're going to help you. Even to the point that they'll do vasectomies for free in the back alley and give out free abortion pills. What's sicko? I mean, can we just please throw more babies at the altar of Baal? Can we please just sacrifice babies in front of the Asherah pole? That's where we are right now. The DNC, free abortion, free vasectomy. It's weird. All right, so gender and abortion, two main issues for them. Creating chaos on the right is also considered to be a theme right now. So yeah, here's a piece from the Daily Signal. It says, Democrats seem poised to use the DNC's nomination or domination of the primetime airwaves this week to try and bait the right into fighting itself. Interesting. It says, if night one is any indication, Democrats' strategy to try and break conservative ranks will be continued through attacks against things like the Heritage Foundation's Project 2025, and which is really not a scary plan, by the way. Trying to pit the think tank against the Trump. Don't fall for it, is what we're saying. They've got all kinds of things about how trying to split us up and make us think that this conservative group is weird and that conservative group over there doesn't stand for the same things you stand for. And, you know, and yeah, anyway, all said and done, no. Here's the other theme. The other theme, which you're going to see more of this week, is out with the old, in with the new, is what they say. And I'm not sure I agree with this. I'm not sure I agree with it because, like, tonight, it's the Obamas. Out with the old, in with the new? Well, then why did you have Hillary Clinton last night? Why did you pretend you were celebrating Joe Biden? Why did you have the Obamas and then Bill Clinton is speaking this week? Oh, that's a lot of the old. It does say, though, in this piece, the way they justify their position here is they say Monday night featured the ghosts of presidential elections past. That's good. In what felt like a swan song address, former Secretary of State and 2016 presidential nominee Hillary Clinton took the stage to proclaim that glass ceiling shattering is real this time. Okay. So what they're trying to do is present Kamala as the freshness, I guess is what she's saying. Maybe that's true. Kamala ain't fresh. Kamala is wilted lettuce. Kamala has been a part of the political scenery now for a number of years. She grew up in Oakland politics. She crushed San Francisco. She served as a DA and later as an attorney general and then as a U.S. senator and now as a vice president. She's been on the scene for a long time. She is not fresh. Well, she's fresh top of the ticket. Okay. Anyway, the bottom line is this. All the old school people are coming out talking about new school, but yet new school is really old school. If you want to go fresh, you go out there and you find somebody who's not been in the mix this long. All right, a couple of text messages and I'll call it for a break. Kenya from Monrovia says, what do you think of RFK Jr. joining forces with Trump? Links to the Epoch Times, an article that I've not read. I can't go to it right now. I think RFK Jr. is already aligning himself with Trump in some ways, but let's not kid ourselves. RFK Jr. is not a conservative. He's more conservative than perhaps Joe Biden. He's not a conservative. What do I think of it? I think be very careful, Trump. But the enemy of my enemy is my friend, so maybe during the political season, we'll see. Robert from Hazel Green says, the only thing that matters is that Kamala is black. If you don't believe me, just... Okay, anyway, I see it, Robert. Thanks. Paul from Decatur says, I wonder with the drive-by dusting and cleaning going on in Chicago, I wonder if they are doing... I wonder if they're neutering cats and dogs as well. as well as... They spay and neuter your Democrats. Steve from Madison says, for the second day in a row, I've watched Trump give the lowest energy, unenthusiastic speech I've ever seen him give. Is he trying a new campaign strategy or just beaten down? No, he's not. He thinks he's great. In fact, I've got a piece from Greg Price right here that just cracks me up. Trump basically just smarting off to the press. It was pretty funny. Last one for the break. Last two. Colonel, says Steve from Huntsville. Colonel, he brought up all the talking points from 8 years ago. Downright lied, and it's sad. There were good people on both sides. I'm so tired of the media. Notice we don't call them the news anymore. I think this is why people look to social media and live views so they can see the truth for themselves. This is dangerous. I agree. And last one, Lewis from Birmingham says, update, Moloch will be introducing Kamala before she delivers a speech. That's funny, not funny. All right, we're taking a break right now. Take it to the break there, Big Rig. We ran a little long. We'll come back and start moving towards the other news because there are actually things in the other news. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.